Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. I'll be centering my thoughts in that book tonight. In the last number of months, I've had the pleasure of going through the book of Mark and studying it with a number of people and some of us here sitting together. And some things are just starting to pop out to me more and more as I read it, as they always tell you it will. And one day after we were studying through chapter 10, I had an epiphany. Now, they don't come often, and probably the same with you, but when something happens, you're like, wow, I get it. And I had one of those moments, and it was fun, so I want to share how that moment had built up for me tonight. And hopefully, I can encourage you to have one yourself. Maybe not so much what I'm talking about, but study, and you can have an epiphany too. But I was noticing as we were reading through, it sure talks a lot about being a servant. And it ends up that being a servant is a big deal to Jesus. That's something that Mark really highlights in his gospel. And especially leading up to chapter 10 and 11, boy, it's just overloaded with references about servants. And I know being a servant is preached a lot about, and I've heard a lot of sermons about it, and a lot of people have said, you know, this is something we need to do, but it hadn't really hit me just the magnitude of how important it was to Jesus until I had gone through this. And, you know, if Jesus came to the earth and it was only here for a short time and taught one thing, it would be something we would cherish. It would be something we would want to do and to please Him, that one thing. And that's why I think it's such a big deal to Jesus, this aspect of being a servant. Especially in the book of Mark, it's something that He just hammers over and over about how important it is and how important it was in Jesus' teaching. So if you don't mind, I want to go through how I kind of evolved to see these things in the Gospel of Mark. So first of all, Jesus was all about showing how to be a servant. And between chapters 1 and chapter 10, I counted 11 different times that Mark recorded that Jesus healed somebody or a city of people. So at least once a chapter, Jesus is giving of Himself to heal people. And it ranged from just fevers to blindness to even raising someone from the dead. His being a servant was about tending to people who had needs. And also, despite sleeplessness and hunger, Jesus was about serving the people. In chapter 6, reading in verses 30 to 34, we see another aspect of how Jesus showed how to be a servant. It says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while.' So there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived there before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things." You notice that Jesus was going to take His disciples away to rest. And there was so much happening that they didn't even have time to eat. All these people were crowding around them wanting the teachings. And so Jesus said, okay, I know you guys, He was going to be a servant to His disciples and say, you guys need time to rest and eat. But as they got away to go do that, the people thronged. They knew where they were going. And by the time they got there, the crowds were just as big. And they didn't have time to eat, and they didn't have time to rest. And Jesus said, but I'm here to teach. And He taught them. He went without eating. He went without sleeping. And as we see on further on, of course, He does feed them. Here He feeds 5,000 people. But He also, there's another instance where He feeds 4,000 people in the same situations where He's tired, hungry, and haven't eaten Himself. But He gives of Himself to make sure that others have what they need. And then also, in these in those chapters, there are three times it's mentioned that Jesus had pulled demons out of people and who were demon-possessed. And that is a great act of service, too. It's not just serving someone's physical needs, but serving these people's spiritual needs, too. Jesus had showed the people time and time again what being a servant is like. So it was a big deal to Jesus to be an example of being a servant. And secondly, Jesus taught about being a servant, obviously. And you may recall time and time again how Jesus makes reference to those who want to be great need to become the slave of all. Those who are the lowly right now will be exalted. And he says this, I've got three times in chapters 9 and 10. This is referenced three times. So it's something that Jesus really wants people to understand. In chapter 9, verses 33 through 37, the disciples there are talking amongst themselves. And Jesus says, well, what are you talking about? And in 34, they kept silent. For on the road they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him into his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now I've got a reference here that in verse 37, you can also put in the word serve. Whoever serves one of these little children in my name serves me. Whoever serves me serves not me, but him who sent me. So Jesus, yes, teaches the people what being a servant is as well. Not just showing it in his actions, but he teaches them so they understand as well and what is expected of them. And in chapter 10, we know in verse 17 the story about the rich young ruler, right? He comes to Jesus and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus lists some things off and he says, Master, I've done those things. And then Jesus gives him one more suggestion. He says, one thing you lack in verse 21. Go your way, whatever you have, and sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come. Take up the cross and follow me. In essence, Jesus is saying, you right now are first. You're preeminent. Make yourself the last and come follow me. In verse 31, he actually says this to his disciples, but many who are first will be last and the last first. So he's teaching this young man what it is to be a servant. To be a follower of me, to inherit eternal life, make yourself a servant. Sell what you have and become a follower of me. Take yourself from first and make yourself last. And lastly, in chapter 10, the third reference to this, in verses 42 through 45, Jesus says again to his disciples, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. This is fairly self-explainable, but I just wanted to, again, highlight how often Jesus is talking about being a servant. And this is all up leading up to his final week. Chapter 11 starts his time in Jerusalem where his life's going to end. So the last thing he wanted to tell his servants before he died was how to be a servant. He was showing them in examples and healings, feedings. He was teaching them by talking about if you want to become great, you need to make yourself lowly and humble. So this is what he's talking about over and over, and all these references leading up to this last week. We also want to add that Jesus not only shows us how and teaches us how, he expects us to be a servant It's not something he's just saying and suggesting us to do. It's something he expects us to do, to live for him. And we see this in chapter 8. And starting in verse 34, it says, "When he had called all the people to himself, with the disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels.'" Yes, he teaches it. He teaches what being a servant here is about: taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following me. But he expects it. Because if you don't do this, what happens? If you're not following him, if you're not denying yourself, then you are sacrificing your soul to gain the whole world. And it says that whoever is ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of. If we do not follow, then Jesus is not going to claim us on that last day. He expects us to be servants. He expects us to lay ourselves down for the sake of others and for his. And if not, there's going to be consequences. And he teaches us again about being a servant having not being a servant having consequences in chapter 10, where he talks about some Pharisees came to him and wanted to know if Jesus thought it was lawful or not to divorce. And he says in verse 5, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, it was not so. God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And this is really just a reference about how spouses must be servants to each other. There isn't anything that should separate or stop this service act between the two. If we've been joined in a union, God expects us to be a servant to each other. But if the union is separated, there's consequences. It says in verse 11 and 12 that whoever divorces and marries another commits adultery. If you break this union, you break this union of servitude, then there's consequences. So again, Jesus is teaching about being a servant, and he expects us to do that. If not, there's consequences. And ultimately, Jesus teaches us about being a servant in his death. If you've been maybe paying attention to some of the context of the references I made about his teaching, you'll see that in chapter 8, 9, and 10, every time Jesus says, "The first shall be last and the last first," it comes right after him predicting his death, telling the disciples about what he's going to do for them. In chapter 8, verse 31, this is the first time Jesus mentions it to his disciples. It says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. The first time that they had encountered this kind of teaching. And immediately following that, he talks about denying yourself, taking up your cross. So he teaches them, he tells them what he's going to do for them, and then he teaches them about being a servant. Chapter 9, verse 31 as well. Jesus says, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he's killed, he will rise the third day." What happens immediately following? Jesus says in 35, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And then also, again, in chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, Jesus says, "Behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he'll rise again. And what does he teach the disciples immediately after saying this again? In verse 43, yet not shall be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be a servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. Being a servant is a big deal to Jesus. We can see how he leads up to this last week of his life, teaching about being a servant. He tells his disciples what he's going to do for them, his great act of service. And immediately after telling them these things, he says, this is how you can become a servant. This is what I'm going to do for you, and this is what you need to do for others. This is what he's talking about leading up to his death. And that's where, you know, this epiphany came from. It's like, wow, I start seeing all these connections and all these connections. And instead of seeing the text, you know, as little bitty stories with headings in my Bibles, it's easier to do that because it separates the text for you. But really, when you see it all together, it all makes sense. And I really, really enjoyed that experience. But this isn't the only place that the Bible talks about being a servant. There's a couple more I want to reference before we end the sermon. But in Philippians chapter 2, I had made reference to this morning. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Paul, of course, being directed by the Holy Spirit, says this: let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also the interest of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. In verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus took the form of a bondservant. He gave up all these great things to become a servant, because it's a big deal to Jesus. Being a servant is a big deal to Jesus. That is what he came to do, and that is what he came to teach us to do. And in Isaiah chapter 52, starting verse 13, we read this passage a lot. But, oh, I had another epiphany. In verse 13, what's it say? My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And just as many as were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. God calls the Messiah a servant. He says in verse 13, behold, my servant. He doesn't call him, the king. He doesn't call him Lord of Lords. He calls him a servant. And then what is this servant described as? Someone exalted and extolled very high. Someone who's been lifted up, right? Why? Because in verse 14, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, because he made himself lowly. That's why he was exalted so high. And that is what a servant does. So, I think that's all I got. Ryan got 106 people here this morning, had some great jokes. I can't deliver on that, but I hope you got the message I was wanting you to see. I kept it short. Maybe that's something that you've been looking forward to. But really, I hope you might take the time to go and read through those few chapters of Mark and just see how every, and I couldn't look at every passage, but it really does. Everything Jesus did, every healing he performed, every time he talked to somebody, every time he fed people, every time he took a demon out of someone's suffering, he was being a servant. And every time he taught us, he was teaching us about how to be a servant. And when he died, he taught us again what ultimate service is. And I hope we can see that. And then also, we can do these things too. What can we do to be a servant? Jesus again showed that we can be a servant by teaching whenever the opportunity presents itself. Even if it means losing sleep. Even if it means missing meals. If the opportunity is there, let's do it. But Jesus didn't just let the opportunities come to him. He made the opportunities happen. He saw somebody that needed teaching, and he did it. He just started talking, and he became a servant to them by doing that. He gave time to those who were hurting. He cared about people's physical well-being, and we can too. He spent time with those who the world had forgotten. I didn't mention Bartimaeus, but right after... Let's see if I can remember this. Right after he talked about being a servant and what he was going to come and do for them in the chapter 10, right after that, they had met a man on the road named Bartimaeus. He was blind and he was begging. Of what value is he to Jesus? He is nothing in society. He can't do anything. He can't work for a living. It seems that his family's rejected him. And he's just begging for money. But Jesus spends time with him. That's who Jesus was seeking after. And that's who we need to start spending time with as well. And lastly, Jesus considered his life as nothing so that others could be brought closer to God. Even to the point of his death. Do we consider ourselves as nothing to become servants to people? Being a servant is a big deal to Jesus. It needs to be a big deal to us in our lives as well. So if you want to start making your life a servant to others, tonight is a great time to start doing that. If you're seeking to be baptized, and it's something you've been thinking about for a long time, and your heart has been changed, and you realize you need to do that, the waters are ready for you to be baptized. Or if you have some other need that you'd like the congregation to know of, tonight's a great opportunity to do that. So if you have any needs, please share them and come forward as we are leading the invitation song.